Well, let's read the passage, and we're going to read these three verses from an earlier section in Luke that really introduced this whole section, these verses in Luke chapter 18, verses 24 to 27. Actually follow on the sad occasion when the Lord Jesus challenged the rich young ruler to leave everything and follow him. And in light of that, Jesus said how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." I wonder how many of the disciples remembered those words as they entered Jericho. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Remember these old movies before they had the sophisticated techniques where the way in which they managed to move the story along was some activity out in the field and then the voiceover would say, "And now back at the ranch." And you would move from back at the ranch to the action out in the field and so on and so forth. And that's how we're meant to read this. Out there they grumbled and said, "He's gone in to be a guest of a sinner." But back at Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." In this little series we are engaged in, there is a big picture. Jesus has been confessed as the Christ, as the Messiah. He has been recognized as the Son of God by Simon Peter at Caesarea. And the Gospels tell us that that confession and what followed marked a kind of turning point in Jesus' ministry. From that time onwards, Jesus began to teach them much more clearly than he had done theretofore, that he was going to Jerusalem, that he would be arrested, that he would be maligned, that he would be tried, eventually crucified, and on the third day rise again from the dead. The big picture is Jesus journeying, Jesus' pilgrimage from Caesarea Philippi to the cross of Calvary. But like every big picture, like the picture that's on the wall there, the tapestry that's over there, every tapestry is composed, certainly the great tapestries are composed of a series of minor scenes that make up the big picture. And we are noticing in the journey from Caesarea to Calvary how the camera that follows Jesus pauses in moments of personal encounter that are obviously in the Gospels immensely significant. And we come today to one of the most remarkable, certainly one of the most attractive, the story of Zacchaeus. Many remarkable things about the story of Zacchaeus as I was reflecting on it. I thought from a purely personal point of view, one of the most remarkable things to me is I've never in my life in, I think it's 35 years since I was ordained to the Christian ministry, I have never in my life given a talk, a devotional, preached a sermon, given a lecture in which Zacchaeus has ever featured. I'm not sure that the name Zacchaeus has ever crossed my lips in a public situation. Some of you who don't belong to our congregation will be asking your friends who may have invited you if this is a real minister you've got who is that age and has never preached on Zacchaeus. So I am excited that having waited this long, I've got an opportunity to talk to you about Zacchaeus. Remember that great novel that Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich? Well, here we've one day in the life of Zacchaeus of Jericho. And it was a life-transforming day that when he woke up in the morning, he would never have expected would have happened. Every great story, whether it's in the Bible or elsewhere, basically has three movements to it. There's a situation, often a problem. There's a crisis point, a turning point, and then there's a resolution. And that's certainly a good way to look at the story of Zacchaeus. We begin with Zacchaeus and his situation, and it does look as though he has a problem. We move from that situation to the critical climax of his life when he personally encounters Jesus of Nazareth. And the story leads on to the marvelous resolution of what happens as a result. When we come across Zacchaeus at the beginning of this story, I think we could describe him as rich but curious. Rich but curious. We know he was rich because we're told that in the story. We could have guessed he was rich because we've some understanding of what it would have meant to be a chief tax collector. Jericho was one of a small number of major tax centres in Jesus' time. It was on a very important trade route. It was one of the three most desirable top spots to get in the inland revenue system that the Roman government had put in place. And unlike most of the people, I trust all of the people who look at our tax returns when we send them back. If you haven't already sent them back, make sure you do so by the middle of April. None of these individuals who see your tax returns are able to make money out of your tax return, except for doing their job. But the tax return system, as it was operated by people like Zacchaeus, was like a pyramid selling scheme. So the more people you could give the privilege of gaining taxes to, the more money eventually came into your own bank account. And this was the particular reason why Zacchaeus was probably, comparatively speaking, a very, very rich man. He had one of those jobs that was a license to print money and an opportunity to lose most of your friends in the process. And it may well be, given the fact that nobody in the crowd apparently turned to Zacchaeus and said, "Oh, Zacchaeus, it's you. Come on, right to the front. Get the front view." The fact that he had to run on, that he had to climb the sycamore tree, is a little indication, probably, that there were not many friends of Zacchaeus in the crowd that was there in Jericho to watch Jesus enter the city. And yet, for a reason Luke doesn't explain, probably I think because he expects that we could guess, Zacchaeus was curious to see Jesus. Indeed, you might say, he seems to have been almost desperate to see Jesus. Now, why should that be the case? I suspect it's the case because Luke has been giving us little hints all the way through his gospel to this point that he has a very special interest in tax collectors. He's already told us how tax collectors came to listen to John the Baptist. He's told us of how Jesus called a tax collector into his little band of disciples, Levi. He's already told us how Jesus had a specific parable or gospel story, kingdom story, that featured a tax collector who left the temple as a man whose sins had been forgiven and who stood in a right relationship to God. He's got a great interest in tax collectors. He knows at least one tax collector who was in the disciple band. And perhaps we are meant to read of this, that if that was the case among the subsidiary tax collectors, somebody as shrewd as Zacchaeus had undoubtedly heard about what Jesus of Nazareth was doing, and most of all had heard that there were some lower order tax collectors whose lives had been dramatically transformed by this Jesus of Nazareth. I don't myself believe that Zacchaeus would have had any idea what was really happening to him. But what was obviously happening to him that he probably couldn't see at the time was that God had been putting into position in his life all kinds of little spiritual time bombs that would have been going off. Things he'd heard about, perhaps about Levi. Things he'd perhaps heard about the story Jesus had told about the justified tax collector. Things that he knew were happening among some of the other tax collectors. They were all so many little time bombs calculated to explode at significant points in Zacchaeus' life until the day when Jesus of Nazareth came to town. And I suspect that because that's how God usually works. Yes, for some people, coming to faith in Jesus Christ is a dramatic crisis. But when they step back from the dramatic crisis, they begin to see how God had positioned people or circumstances in their lives to begin to draw their attention to the thing that is most important of all in all the world. And that is this kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, into which Zacchaeus was being introduced. I don't think he would have really thought much about what he was doing as he pressed through the crowd to try to see Jesus and failed. And then, as we are told, in this how many of you have ever seen an income tax man run? As he ran ahead of the crowd, apparently oblivious to the fact that as people heard his footsteps, they would have been turning around, nudging each other and saying, "Would you ever believe you would have seen Zacchaeus run? There must be somebody out there who hasn't paid his taxes." And when he climbed up the sycamore tree, he was not only a tax collector, he apparently was fairly athletic. Climbs up the sycamore tree. The whole thing is completely out of character. And the wonderful thing is that the man probably didn't even recognize how dramatically out of character it was. But anybody who saw him would have said, "What's going on in Zacchaeus's life?" And what was going on in Zacchaeus's life was that God was drawing him to Jesus. And that's how it usually is. I've had the privilege in various contexts of listening to people describe coming to faith in Jesus Christ who have had almost no Christian vocabulary in which to do it. And they could never say, "What's happened to me is I've become a Christian." They scarcely could spell the word Christian. But it's so obvious that God has been drawing them. And that's surely what was happening to Zacchaeus. He was very rich, but because of what God was doing in his life, he became very curious. Wouldn't surprise me in a crowd like this that there are one or two of us who can see ourselves in Zacchaeus' story. For some reason or another, Perhaps it's somebody you know at work, somebody in the neighbourhood, something that was said in church last Sunday, something that's come back to you from boyhood or womanhood or girlhood memories, and it is like something niggling away at you. And you think, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And perhaps for you, this is the last place in the world you thought you would be sitting on a Wednesday lunchtime. And it's because God has begun to work in your life. Very rich, but rather curious. The central point in this story is when Zacchaeus is recognized and called. And this is just as remarkable, and in some ways it's just as curious. Jesus is walking along, he looks up into the tree, and his first word is, Zacchaeus. Now maybe he was, how many top-level tax inspectors in the United States of America, how many of their names do you know? I mean, if you walked down the street and you saw one hanging from a tree. If you knew his name, he would fall out of the tree. Now, here's the question. You must have asked this question because we've all known this story for years and years. How did Jesus come to know his name? How did Jesus come to know his name? Well, maybe it was because he had supernatural knowledge. I suspect it wasn't because he had supernatural knowledge. I suspect it was because he had very ordinary but deeply spiritual knowledge. Let me imagine it was like this. In the tax system, the underlings know who the chief men are. Here is one of Jesus' disciples. He has been a tax collector. He's been gloriously brought to faith in Jesus. He's been one of those who has confessed Jesus. He's followed Jesus. He's left the inland revenue. And now he's become a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't you think that perhaps Levi had developed a burden for those who were in the tax system? I sometimes wonder if perhaps it was Levi who said, you know, Lord, when we get to Jericho, there's a man in Jericho, I would absolutely love that you would meet him. And I've been praying for him. Perhaps Jesus had been praying as he moved into Jericho. Father, Levi has told me about this man Zacchaeus, and I long that in your providence you would provide me with an opportunity to meet this man and show your grace to him and bring salvation to his house. Well, by whatever means it was, perhaps it was just Jesus walking along and Levi spotting him and running up to Jesus, Jesus, that's him up there. And then trying to, you know how you do it. I don't want him to see, I told you. And as he walks past, perhaps it was purely natural but deeply spiritual knowledge, expressing his compassion and concern for this rich but isolated man. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. And you know, the marvelous thing about this is that Jesus not only called him by name, but he called him into his kingdom. These words are so reminiscent in a way of a principle that Jesus enunciates in John chapter 10. He says, you know, when I call my sheep, they recognize my voice because I call them by name and they come and follow me. And there must have been something for Zacchaeus that was completely irresistible here. Yes, of course he decided to come down the tree, decided to follow, but it was Christ who mastered him. Even in the language Jesus used, he doesn't say to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, may I have an invitation to tea this afternoon? He says, Zacchaeus, down and home with me. And that's how it often is. You can imagine in the early church, the apostles and the early preachers preaching this story and saying, that's how it was with us, wasn't it? As we were drawn to Jesus, we felt ourselves irresistibly drawn. I had a letter once from a young postgraduate research student who worked in one of the universities in the area of the church I was in. And every Wednesday we would have a lunch hour service, and we were in the city centre. We would ring the bell and the whole city centre would hear the bell ringing, and they would look up at the clock and they would say, but it's not 1 o'clock. Why is that bell ringing? Or they would say, it's 1 o'clock. Why is it keep on ringing? And this girl, as she worked away in her laboratory, would hear the bell ringing from a walk of 5 minutes away, and came to know that this was a church and that this was a service, and that here the Christian gospel was explained. And she began to hear, almost like Dick Whittington, she began to hear the bell as though it were ringing in her own conscience and drawing, and she resisted. Until one day she came and, like Zacchaeus, as it were, on the spot, came to a living faith in Jesus Christ with almost no consciousness of how she had come from her laboratory into the church. Yes, she had made all the decisions, but she knew that what had really happened was that Christ had drawn her to himself. And that's how the Lord works. Zacchaeus, rich yet curious. Zacchaeus recognized and called. And then the denouement of the entire story. Jesus, repentant and transformed. Just as the Pharisees were outside. This is so typical and so funny and so glorious. There they are outside saying, Zacchaeus is a sinner and he doesn't deserve to be with Jesus, and Jesus is a sinner for being with him. And what's inside is that this man's life has been marvelously transformed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And you see how it happens. He receives Jesus joyfully. Look at that in verse 6. He hurried and came down and received him joyfully. I always think that's really the mark of genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, incidentally. Anybody who receives Jesus burdensomely has missed the point. This is Jesus, the Savior, the gracious one, the friend of sinners. We receive him joyfully. But you notice there's not just joy. The joy arises because of the amazing thing that Christ loves us and is prepared to die for us. He finds us as we are in his grace. But he doesn't leave us as he found us. And so Zacchaeus, who receives him joyfully, in verse 8, repents radically. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. Now, notice, will you, that the tense of the verbs here are present. These are not good intentions. This is what he is now beginning the process of doing. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, and presumably he had, I now begin to restore that fourfold. Free forgiveness. Deeply costly transformation. There was a period in Northern Ireland, in the city of Belfast, where the great employer, Harland and Wolff, the shipbuilder, had so many employees who had stolen so much from Harland and Wolff that when God broke in among the people who worked in Harland and Wolff's place and began to bring them, like Zacchaeus, to living faith, and they started bringing back everything they had stolen, eventually the directors of Harland and Wolff issued a directive to the employees, please, those of you who have been converted, don't bring back anything else. We've no room left to restore it. I heard of a man sending $50,000 to the income tax people in the United Kingdom because he had been brought to living faith in Jesus Christ. He finds us in his free love, but he changes us in a way that makes us almost beyond recognition. The interesting thing about Zacchaeus is this is the only gospel where we read about him. Isn't that interesting? And how would Luke have found out about him? And not Matthew and Mark and John. Well, Luke tells us, you remember, at the beginning of his gospel, I've been doing a lot of very careful research, following up leads, speaking to eyewitness. And perhaps he'd found either Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus' family. Do you know, if I'd been Luke, one of the questions I would have wanted to ask about Zacchaeus, or to ask Zacchaeus, did you stay working for the Inland Revenue? I wonder if he would have said, you know, I did. And it was absolutely marvellous because people started saying to me, you're like no tax collector I've ever met in my life. You have been not only fair to me, but generous to me. And I wonder if Zacchaeus then would have said to Luke with a little, I suppose it would be a little grin because he was a little man. And then I would say to them, I know. By the way, did I ever tell you about the day I met Jesus of Nazareth and how he changed my life? Well, no wonder I'm excited about, for the first time in my life, speaking about Zacchaeus. But at the end of the day, it's not really about Zacchaeus, is it? It's about Christ. And perhaps it's about you as well. Curious? Some time bombs been going off in your life, wondering why you're here, trying to piece together things. And now Jesus himself is speaking to you as directly and clearly as he spoke to Zacchaeus. And he speaks to you, he says, John, William, James, Mary, Anne, Sinclair. I want salvation to come to your house. And I want transformation to come to your life. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you want to stop it. And come down from whatever tree you're up. Trust in him. Go with him the rest of your life. It is the most glorious privilege, not only in all the world, but in all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you that we not only see your grace written into the lives of these characters in Scripture, but there are different ways in which we find ourselves drawn in by your word to Jesus Christ. And we pray today that, like Zacchaeus, you would help us to come down, to humble ourselves, to trust in Jesus Christ, that salvation, forgiveness, new life may come to us and to our house, and that we may live in the joy of the Lord. Bless us, Lord, according to our many different needs, and be with us the rest of this day, for Jesus' sake.